Our scripture reading today is Colossians 3:8 and Matthew 7:1 through 2. Colossians 3:8. But now you yourselves are to put off all these anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Matthew 7:1 and 2. Judge not, that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure you might, it shall be measured to you again.
And God, I thank you this morning. Please touch those who are listening today, God. Open their ears to hear the word and be a blessing to them. And I bless you for it. God, speak through me this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I give honor to the board, the trustees, the elders, and you, the congregation. I thank God for being here today. This is a little bit of a, I won't say hard, but it's one of those that's a little harder for us to hear sometimes, this sermon today. But I'm coming from the topic, take a look in the mirror. And if you ever hear my phone go off, it plays Man in the Mirror, if you know that song by Michael Jackson. And because it's something that I believe in, that, you know, sometimes we have to stop and just do a self-inventory on ourselves. But sometimes we're really quick to look at someone else and tell them what they're doing wrong. Amen. Can I get an amen on that one? We're really good at saying, see, she's doing this and he's doing that. And, oh, you know, we can tell them just what they're doing. But I feel today God is telling us, take a minute and take a look in the mirror. What are you doing? What's going on? So I have this story that I wanted to share, and I debated it because it's a little embarrassing, but it's funny. And I think it'll help you to kind of get the point. So, and it's about me, of course. So, because something's always happening to me. So, but anyway, years ago, you all know I had cancer, and I had to have some lymph nodes removed, and they removed them from my underarm to check for cancer. But so after that, I had a hard time wearing deodorant. I had to wear like powders and things like that. And so one day I was in a meeting. I was sitting in a meeting talking with an old friend, but we were talking on how we could collaborate on something. And we were at the church, as a matter of fact, and we were talking. And he had just lost a lot of weight, like maybe 100 pounds. And so we were talking about that and how proud we were that he'd done that. And so as we were sitting there, I started to smell like a sweaty smell. And so I was like, oh wow, he must have been working out before he came, you know, and just to myself, you know how we do it, just a self thought. He must have been working out before he came and didn't have a chance. I happened to lift my arm and I was like, oh my God, it is me. I put my arms down. I finished the conversation and I got out of there. But I share that story to say immediately, I did not think it was me. Oh no, it wasn't me. It was him. Amen. And that's what we do sometimes. We sometimes, instead of taking a look in the mirror, considering, you know, it could be me, we want to project on someone else. Sometimes just to not deal with the issue. But that's what I want to talk about today. So I hope that kind of helps you understand. Sometimes we do. We want to look and point at what everyone else is doing, but not considering what we do. So today I'm going to encourage you to take a look in the mirror. If you know that song, it says, I'm starting with the man in the mirror. I'm asking him to change his ways. And so if you ever hear my phone go off, that's going to be the song that goes off, because I like to be reminded of that for just that reason. Immediately, I'm going to think it's someone else, you know, but no, it was me. And so I did go and get some deodorant, and thank God I can wear it now. But anyway, yes, I try to wear a lot of perfume too, just in case. So I started to just kind of go through some scriptures that would kind of point these things out, that would give you some good examples. So I want to start with Luke 6:42 through 44. And it says, or how can you say to your brother, brother, let me remove the speck that is in your eye, when you yourself do not see the plank that is in your own eye? Hypocrite, first remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck that is in your brother's eye. And I mean, that says so much, don't we? Just like that story, my immediate thought was to go to him. It must have been him, you know. But God is telling us here to remove, to take care of yourself. Do a self-inventory. What are you doing? What have you done that may not be right? What have you done in this situation? You know, see your side first. Look at yourself first. It can only bless you when you take a look inside, when you take a look in the mirror and see what it is that you're bringing to the situation. And the reason I really, this sermon kind of came from something my mom used to tell us when we were younger. Of course, there were six of us. So, you know, we had a lot of battles over everything. Don't use my hair stuff. Leave my brush alone. She's got my shirt on, Mom. And, you know, it's everything. My brother is driving me crazy. He touched me. And oh, there's so much. Can you imagine a mom with six kids? And so she would tell us, especially if it seems like you're the one that's always complaining or always, you know, she said, you know what? If you're fighting with everybody, maybe you should take a look in the mirror. You know, and that's kind of where this came from. And it's true. If everybody, you have a problem with everybody, maybe you need to see what's first. Take a self inventory. What am I bringing to this? Why am I fighting with everyone? So, Colossians 3:8 says, but now you yourself are to put off these anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. It's telling us just a few things. It's telling us. But consider that in a situation or just in anything when, you know, we're so easy to find fault with everyone else. And sometimes they are. Sometimes people are at fault. But it's really easy for us to say, well, she did it or he did it. But what are you bringing to the table? Are you carrying anger? Are you carrying unforgiveness? Is there something that you're having, that you're holding on to, that when you come into the situation, you're making it, you know, a little more because you have old feelings? You know, we were talking about that the other day. Sometimes you even think you're over it. Sometimes you think you're over a situation. And then you get into the presence of someone and you wonder why you're snapping at them. Why am I snapping at them? But then when you really take a self inventory, you realize, oh, I haven't forgiven them for stepping on my foot 6 years ago. I need to let that go. You know, it's like that. And I know that's silly, but sometimes it is just that silly. Sometimes it is, and we don't realize it. But you're holding on to things. You're holding on to anger. You're holding on to wrath. You're holding on, you know, to just unforgiveness, which is one of the hardest. It really does us in when we are unforgiving, when we can't seem to let go of a situation. And I'm not saying that it's easy. It's very difficult to let go of a situation. But if you can let go of something or someone who has hurt you, knowing that God's going to take care of them. And believe me, he says, vengeance is mine. I will repay. You don't have to worry about getting them back. He's going to. He's truly going to take care of it for you. So if you can release it, take a self-inventory. Am I holding this in my heart? Am I holding unforgiveness? Do I actually really hate her? You know, I need to let that go. It's stopping me from being all I can be, all that God has called me to be. So another example, and this is a really good one to me, but encouraging you, I want to encourage you to take a self-inventory today. But this example to me is really how we act sometimes. And this one is David. You know, David has so many things that he's done, that he had done, that make great examples for us to learn from. This one is from 2 Samuel 12:1-7. And David, Nathan is coming to tell David what God has sent him to say. So, chapter 12. The Lord said, Nathan to David. The Lord sent Nathan to David. When he came to him, he said, there were two men in a certain town, one rich and the other poor. The rich man had a very large number of sheep and cattle, but the poor man had nothing except one little ewe lamb he had bought. He raised it and grew it up with him and his children. He shared his food, drank from his cup, and even slept in his arms. It was like a daughter to him. Now a traveler came to the rich man, but the rich man refrained from taking one of his own sheep or cattle to prepare a meal for the traveler. He had come to the traveler of his, I'm sorry, traveler who had come to him. Instead, he took the ewe lamb that belonged to the poor man and prepared it for the one who had come to him. David burned with anger against the man and said to Nathan, as surely as the Lord lives, the man who did this must die. A thing had no pity. Oh, I'm sorry. He must pay for that lamb four times over because he did such a thing and had no pity. Then Nathan said to David, you are the man. This is what the Lord said. The God of Israel said, I anointed you king over Israel, and I delivered you from the hand of Saul. He'd given David so much. And if you know the background of this story, what Nathan is telling him is David had Uriah killed, and he was the husband of David's wife, and he had him killed because he was married, and David had an affair with his wife. So to cover it up, he had him killed. And David had hundreds of wives and concubines. He wanted Uriah's wife. And so he was so mad, telling Nathan, we need to kill this guy. What has he done? You know, then he realized, oh, it's me. He had to take a look in the mirror. Nathan had to show him to take a look in the mirror. You did this. You did. God has given you everything. And still, you wanted to steal this man's wife. You wanted to take him. And you had him killed, no less. So, like I said, David's always got a lot of it for us to share. But my point is, he had to take a look in the mirror. He was so angry until he realized it was him. Until he realized he's the one who did this thing. And so I want to encourage you to just take a look in the mirror, knowing that maybe you are at fault in some situations. And I hate to say it, it's hard. It doesn't make this a pleasant sermon, but it's something sometimes that we have to hear, that we need to take a look in the mirror and see, is it us? Is it us? Would your reaction be the same like David if he would have known Nathan was talking about him? Or would he would have said, oh, show him kindness. Oh, forgive him. Oh, you know, which is what God does for us. But his reaction was, oh, we need to get rid of him. He needs to be killed. He needs, you know, until he realized, oh, it was me. He had to, but taking a look in the mirror, you know, what I loved about David in that, he did take a look in the mirror. If you were to go on and read, he immediately apologized to God. When Nathan said, you are the man, he fell on his knees. God, I am sorry. He repented. I'm sorry. I did do that. And that's all he's asking of us. When we take a look in the mirror, he's such a loving and wonderful God that he just forgives us. He just welcomes us back in. And it keeps making me think of our Bible study and that one that we watched when Jesus welcomed Mary Magdalene back, for all of you who who were in Bible study that day. That's what I think of all the time when we fail him. When we take a look in the mirror and realize, oh man, I am holding more than I thought I was. When we realize we're not doing all that pleases God, go to him and tell him, I'm sorry, God, renew me, refresh me, begin me, you know, help me to begin again in this. And he wraps you in his arms and welcomes you back. And that's what's so awesome about him. One more, and this is perfect because we are in Lent season and heading towards Easter. This last example comes straight from Jesus and exactly what he does for us. It's John 8:6-9. This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, he that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. And so here, this is the story of the woman that was caught in the very act of adultery. It's how they describe her. She doesn't get a name or anything, just caught in the very act of adultery. And they didn't catch him, but they caught her, but she was in the very act of adultery. So let that one sink in. But, so this is where they brought her to Jesus, and they were ready to cast stones at her, ready to have her literally stoned for committing adultery. But Jesus began to write in the sand, and it doesn't say what he wrote, but I believe he's telling them what they would see if they looked in the mirror, what they would be seeing, because they were quick to tell what her wrong was, but they weren't quick to say what theirs was. And so I believe, and it doesn't say what he was writing in the sand, but I believe he was writing everything that they've done, you know. So that's why he said, first, who's first without sin? You cast the stone. And so I believe that's what he was, that's, I believe it. It doesn't say, but that's what I think. But it goes to show you they would want compassion for themselves. The word says they each walked out silently. They walked away silently and left her there with Jesus. And that, I mean, that's literally what I love about this is that Jesus was there. Even though she truly was caught in sin, he was right there and he told her, hey, forgiveness. He offered her forgiveness. You go on now and sin no more. No one else can, no one can convict you. No one else can say anything to you, can really truly hurt you. I am forgiving you. I'm wrapping you in my love. You go on and sin no more. And that's what he does for us. And so that's why it's easy for us to do a self-inventory to know what we may be holding, what unforgiveness, anger, you know, whatever it may be that we are holding in our hearts, because he's going to wrap you up in his arms and sit, go on out. Go on out now. Now you can bless others. You can share what you've gone through. I was angry, but God helped me. Let me tell you what I did. I went to him. I asked him for forgiveness. I asked him to clean my heart. And you can share it with someone else and help them, bring them in to understanding that God is such a loving God, that he never leaves us. He never forsakes us. And he is a loving and forgiving God. And that's what, you know, that's really what we're here for. So Matthew 7:1-2. It says, judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye might, it shall be measured to you again. So God is warning, or in the word, Matthew's telling us, really, why are we judging each other? You know, he's telling us, don't judge. Don't judge each other. Because truly, the harshness that you're judging others with is what God's going to judge you with. So don't judge. Don't be finding fault with everyone. And it's probably not the best English, but I tell you what, don't find fault with everyone. You might see them and they may do something that you wouldn't do. How about that? They may do something that you wouldn't do. Does that necessarily make them wrong just because you wouldn't do it? You know, so let's not find judgment. Let's not find fault with everyone. And I'm truly not preaching to any person in particular. I'm just saying in general, let us, as we're out in the world, let us be careful that we not find fault with everything someone's doing, everything someone others are doing. But let us take self-inventory. Are we doing in this situation what we should be doing? Is what we're doing uplifting God? Is it bringing joy to him? Is it bringing attention to God and his goodness and his mercy and his grace? Is what we're doing pleasing God? Is our life pleasing unto him? So I encourage you, take a look in the mirror. And now I'm coming to the very end of this sermon, but I want you to join in with me because I've encouraged you to take a look in the mirror. And I have what is a meditation. It's a scripture. And it's Psalms 51:10. And it says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. And I don't know if it's up there or not, because I was going to have you all read it with me, but that's okay. It's Psalms 51:10, and it just says, so repeat after me. It's a meditation that you can start your day with every day. So repeat after me. Create in me, O God, a right spirit, and renew me. Amen. All right, that's just your prayer. Every morning, it's Psalms 51:10. Get up and start your day with that. Create in me a new spirit, God. Create in me the right spirit. And watch him make a way. And you'll start to see as you do your self-inventory, I am doing what he's called me to do. I am pleasing to God. I am a woman or a man of God. Amen? All right, let's pray. Lord, we thank you. We give you praise for this day, God. We love you because you're wonderful. You're merciful. You're kind. And so today, we're asking, God, that you would create in us a clean heart, God, that you would renew a right spirit within us, God. We thank you and we're asking that you would help us, God, although it may be hard, but God, that you would help us to take a look in the mirror, to see if we're doing what you called us to do, to see if we are showing love and showing kindness, God, or are we showing anger and bitterness. We ask that you would be in the midst of it, God. Work it out for each and every one here. Meet each one, God, at their very point of need today. And we thank you for it. We give you praise, honor, and glory. And we again speak healing, God, on those who need healing. We speak deliverance, God, on those who need deliverance, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.